In recognition of Black History Month and the celebration of the sacrifices of many, we pause to reflect on a day that changed not only Black history, but the lives of all, and solidified the reason we continue to celebrate the dreamer, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. April 4th, 1968 is etched in the minds of millions as the world learned that Dr. King had been assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, at the now famous Lorraine Hotel. Amongst the people who witnessed the tragedy that took place was a woman named Clara Esther, who rushed to Dr. King's side after he had been shot. She will be the guest speaker at Regular Baptist Church on February 27th. And joining me in the studio are Charles and Wanda Davis, who have had the great opportunity to meet and speak with Clara Esther. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Davis and Mr. Davis, you serve as president, Ms. Davis, of the History Ministry at Regular Baptist Church. And Mr. Davis, you serve as vice president.
Yes, I do.
Well, what a fitting title that you both have. And you've had a great opportunity that most people don't get to experience. And so what was going on when this opportunity happened for you both to meet Clara Esther?
Sure. This summer, we decided, instead of our conventional cruise, to go to Montgomery and do civil rights tours. Because we head up the history ministry, we wanted to do the Lynching Museum, we wanted to go to Dexter Avenue. And as divine intervention is what I like to call it, happened, we had missed the tour at Dexter Avenue on three separate days.
Yes.
On that Wednesday, we had gone, got there too late, went to Bible study with Dexter Avenue, which was definitely a blessing. And then the next day, we had planned to go to the Lynching Museum, do some other museums, ran out of time. Friday morning, we had already packed up. We were ready to go home. And our son was not going to let us leave without going to Dexter Avenue.
No, he was.
So we went to Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. And the tour had already started when a very quiet, soft-spoken lady walked in. And she said, "I hate to interrupt your tour, but I need to introduce the lady I'm accompanying." And at that moment, she introduced Clara Esther. She told us that this is Clara Esther. She is the young lady who was following the sanitation strike and the young lady who was an eyewitness to Dr. King's assassination. And at that point, Miss Esther took over. And Miss Esther began just spontaneously to tell us the story of what happened in the last minutes of the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. And what she told us was, we were just going out to get some catfish. And that's the way she told the story. It was just, we were going out to get some catfish. Dr. King forgot his jacket. They went back up to get the jacket. And then all of a sudden, you know, she saw him hurling back. She said she doesn't know where the strength came from. But she ran up those stairs, she unbuckled his belt, and immediately tried to start to assist him. But we know what happened. The beloved Dr. King did not make it from that fatal gunshot.
And Mr. Davis, what about your experience?
Well, in meeting Miss Esther, the important, the thing I got out, I guess, was how calm and how, you know, just down to earth she was. She got to meet our grandson, she held our grandson, and she was just a down-to-earth person. And so meeting her, and for us to have the way my wife was telling the story of how we missed the tours and finally got an opportunity to get into the church. And it was kind of like, you know, it wasn't like a, I don't believe it was an organized tour, but the lady in the church, and I cannot remember her name, she was so very accommodating, one of the ladies that worked in the church. And they were some of the nicest people that I've ever met. And they accommodated us and showed us around, and they showed us the church inside the church, all the artifacts that was outside the church. And of course, like my wife said, when Miss Esther came about, we didn't know who she was. And of course, when the young lady who was doing the tour for us, she introduced her, and she was herself just taken away. So after we found out who she was, and then again, you know, my son, you know, he took pictures with her. And our son is really big on history. He made us go to Selma We walk across the bridge of Selma. He made us do all these things. We detoured when driving back and forth from Virginia. He would detour us to Tuskegee. He made us go to all these different places. And for a young person, I found that quite, you know, fascinating.
So you had your own personal tour guide.
Yes, oh, yeah. Yes. So on that particular day, like I said, in Montgomery, it just was a blessing. And I truly hope one day our church can get there and do a tour, you know, go up there for a visit.
Was there a reason that Miss Esther was there that particular day?
Yes. Miss Esther was there because Miss Esther serves as the vice president of the United Methodist Women, and a conference was in town. What Miss Esther did tell us was that she had never been to Dexter Avenue. Even though she lives in Mobile, she had never been to Dexter Avenue, and it's the only church that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King pastored. The church is still in its original form. So we met downstairs when she came in. We met her downstairs. We then walked upstairs, went into the sanctuary, and everything is preserved in that sanctuary. It's a beautiful sanctuary. And after we toured, they did ask Miss Esther if she would lead us in prayer. And she did the most beautiful prayer. And in the midst of the prayer, she said, "And thank God for that little heavy boy I just held," yes, "who was our one-year-old grandson at the time."
Yes.
Wow.
So that's the kind of engaging person that she is.
Well, I think that is what people, one of the elements that people can relate to so much with Dr. King, because even though no one in other cities maybe were able to touch him and be there, you felt as if you were present by his powerful voice and the messages that came through. So he connected a nation through, yes, the messages, through all that he was born to do. Absolutely. And I believe that is what you're explaining as well about Miss Esther. Everyday ordinary people called to do great extraordinary things.
Yes. Absolutely.
And it's just fantastic. So what was going through your mind? So now you know who she is, the role she played, and you're spending time with her. What's going through your mind?
Yes. It was going through my mind, because I'm also a history buff. My minor is history. And in my mind, I was living a part of history. I was feeling and touching someone who actually touched Dr. King. And it made Dr. King more real to me. She was, like I said, a very, very dynamic, really, really heartfelt person. And it just really touched my heart. And I am just so glad that I decided immediately I have to ask her whether she makes public appearances. Mm-hmm. And so I walked her all the way to the car. That's how I was determined. And she gave me her personal business card with her number on it. And I called her later on, made contact with her, and I believe that it's one of the great historical moments of my life, having to been able to have been touched or to touch her.
Absolutely. And Mr. Davis, I mean, being there and having that experience, did you ever think, as being the vice president of the history department at church, that
Well, no, I did not. And like my wife said, I was awe inspired in seeing her after I heard the story. Because we know that Dr. Martin Luther King was one of the great figures of the 20th century. And to know that someone had actually touched him and was associated with him and unfortunately saw him in the state that she did, I was set aback. And I was almost afraid to even talk to her at a point. And I'm never lost for words. Very seldom I'm lost. You can ask my wife, I'm very seldom lost for words. But I was a little afraid to even talk to her. But then she just came across as such a down-to-earth, heartwarming person. So in particular, after she started, like my wife said, she picked up the grandson, and he has never found a person that he can call a stranger. So, you know, I got a little more at ease with her, and I knew at that point that we were led by God on this one, because we would not have met her if we had done everything like we were supposed to and not at the last minute try to catch the church before we left Montgomery. So there was some godly intervention there, and we are so thankful. Mm-hmm. And we cannot wait to see and hear her on the 27th at our church.
Yes, at your church, at Regular Baptist Church. And so how have you changed, do you think, since you've met her and all of this has been realized and you're closer to having the program?
I think that the whole ministry's focus changed once they learned that the pastor, we of course talked to Pastor Reverend Dr. T.A. Hodge. He was the first person that we called.
What was his reaction?
And his reaction was, "You met who?" And then as we told him about who we met, he just was absolutely astounded.
Yes.
And he said, if she would come to Regular, we would be so honored. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately called her.
Yes.
And she said, absolutely, I will come. The whole ministry, I think, has become more challenged at learning specifics about history, learning specifics about Miss Esther. And one of the things that Miss Esther told us was that for 50 years, she actually didn't talk about this. She said she was at the National Museum of Art in D.C. and saw a picture of herself at the Lorraine Motel.
Wow.
And that's kind of what was the spark behind CNN, Lester Holt, starting to do interviews of her and getting her story out. But she said for 50 years, she really didn't talk about it.
But we're going to be meeting her. And so please tell us all of the details about this beautiful program that you've put together.
Sure. Our program is going to be on Thursday, February the 27th, 2020. The doors will open at 6:45 p.m. at Regular Baptist Church, located at 901 Fifth Street in Gretna, Louisiana. And the program and service will start at 7 o'clock p.m. The theme for this year's program is African Americans and the vote, because we know that this is a very important voting year, but it's the centennial of the 19th Amendment. It's the 150-year anniversary of the 15th Amendment that gave African American men the right to vote. And so that's the concentration of our program. We also, at this program, will be honoring persons who have perpetuated the Voting Rights Act and moved it forward. We're going to be honoring Dr. Clara Bias, who is with the Jefferson Parish Community Action and is the co-founder of the Martin Luther King Jr. Incorporated Task Force in Jefferson Parish. Cedric Floyd, which many of us know as a school board member in Jefferson Parish, but I've known Cedric for 40 years. We went to LSU together. And I've known him as a demographer who actually has done a lot of redistricting work to make sure that the Voting Rights Act has teeth within the greater New Orleans area. The next group that we're going to honor is the Jeremiah Group. They're the oldest organizational group in the city that does forums for political candidates and takes up voting rights issues. Another group that is being honored is Voice of the Experience, commonly known to many of us as VOTE. They work on getting the rights of previously incarcerated persons. They do a lot of lobbying in Baton Rouge. They did a lot of lobbying for the new legislation that went into effect last year to allow persons who have been incarcerated but out for 5 years to go back to be able to get their voting rights. Mm-hmm. The other organization that we are going to recognize is the Martin Luther King Jr. Task Force Incorporated, which was founded actually by our former pastor, who's deceased now, died in 2005, Reverend Dr. Daniel Powell is the founder of that organization. So we will be honoring them. And then the last organization that we're going to honor is Rho Pi Omega Chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. I am a member of that chapter, but we do a lot of voter registration drives, voter information, and we work on service to all mankind is our motto. And so as a part of that service, we do a lot of voting rights kind of work.
Mr. Davis, what does it mean to you to have all of these people in one place? It's going to be an exciting evening.
Yes, I think it's going to be a very exciting evening. I hope that everyone truly come out and witness this. We're also going to have our church, Golden Voices, will be singing. Our goal, both in voice choir, is all members over the age of 60. So they're going to be singing some good old gospel spirituals. And they're very excited about that. And we're going to be very excited to support them. And we hope now that we also have a sister by the name of Lisa Phillips sing that night. We're hoping we're gonna pray on that one. We're gonna keep praying on it and hope we can get her out to sing also.
Well, it would be a pleasure.
And I just want to say, just to divert for a second, our concert on the 13th was by Old Perry Walker and Landry and Edna Carr. Those young people volunteered to come and give back to the community. So I'm praying that some of them come back and join us on the 27th to have this experience with us.
Thank you so much to two historians, to Mr. and Mrs. Davis. Congratulations, and thank you for all of the hard work you've put to make this program a success.
Thank you.
Thank you.